with success, other programs come and poach your coaching staff. It's just a part of it. LSU defensive coordinator Dave Aranda headed to Baylor to be their head football coach. Welcome back to Sports Talk. You already lost Joe Brady to the NFL and the Carolina Panthers. Billy Imbody covering LSU for go247.com joining us now. And Billy, I know some fans are, you know, oh, Matt Rhule's the root of all evil because he left Baylor. Aranda's at Baylor, and he also took Joe Brady with him. I mean, this is just a product of college football when you have success. Alabama's dealt with it for years.
Yeah, there's no question about that, and it's something you just have to deal with as a program, and Ed Ogeron's going to have to deal with it at least on the defensive coordinator side for the first time since he's been the head coach at LSU, but it's okay. They just won a national championship. I think he'll take it, and having to deal with this quote-unquote problem. You win a national championship, people are going to want your coaches, and Dave Aranda's been patient and trying to find his opportunity, and now he's pegged this one as the one he wants to take, and so you really can't blame him.
Now, Billy, don't you think Coach O basically is prepared for this moment? Because I was not worried about UNLV, but Baylor makes sense considering where they're at and the uptick of the program for Dave Aranda to go there. But when you look at potential candidates, whether they've had professional success or professional experience, or what would be maybe a short list or a handful or two or three guys, I'm just intrigued that Coach O's relationship with those USC connections with John Robinson. And what I mean by that, not, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there, a guy who's been a defensive coach and he took the Titans to the Super Bowl. They're on the cusp of going to the Super Bowl. You might say, well, that was two decades. I still think he wants to coach like a Jeff Fisher. And then also, when you look at Bill Johnson and the relationship with Coach O on the D-line, and he was with Wade Phillips. So what is your take? Do you think you go young, maybe a name you're not familiar with? But those are two names. I don't know. I think Wade Phillips might want to coach, and he might coach dying, you know, one day. And the knowledge that he has, and all the people that I've talked to, that he's a young 70s. You might think, you know, he's 71, 72, but his knowledge, he's way younger than that, and his enthusiasm. Now, recruiting comes about not necessarily in that route, but even like a Jeff Fisher, who's been a head coach, who's been part of outstanding defenses. What is your take and what Coach O would do going forward, and obviously the short list that he maybe would have?
Yeah, I think for Ed, he's done a good job, and he's also shown a willingness to go outside the box and go get somebody like Joe Brady. He's also listened to somebody like Dave Aranda and gotten Bill Bush on board. And all the while, he's also made hires like Bill Johnson, guys that he's familiar with and have NFL ties, and Tommy Robinson as well, who's somebody that, again, a USC tie, an NFL guy. And this is, I would say, the majority of them on staff outside of Mickey Joseph and Steve Ensminger, Corey Raymond, are NFL guys, the guys that you really think are rooted in the NFL, James Craig as well. But I just think for this one, it's such an important hire, and for Ed, I don't necessarily think he'll go. I think somebody is, you know, I know young 71, but as old as Wade Phillips, somebody who hasn't recruited, and then Jeff Fisher as well, somebody who's certainly kind of been on the outside looking in on coaching. I don't think he'll go that route. I think there's going to be more interest from some of the top rising names in college football that want to take this job. And who knows, as he goes through it all, he might find somebody that is similar to a Joe Brady. And now I'm not saying somebody's going to reinvent the wheel on how to play defense, but I just think he's got an open checkbook. He's got a lot of connections, and he's going to play all of those off each other and try to figure out what the next best move is. I think one name is Todd Grantham. You know, will LSU back up the truck and go get him? I know that's a name thrown around. Somebody who's familiar in the SEC, I don't know what his interest level would be, but you never know. And then other young up-and-coming coaches in the SEC, guys like Brad White and Ryan Walters at Kentucky and Missouri, respectively, both had defenses that were higher ranked than LSU's this past year. So I look for guys that also do more with less in that regard, too.
Could Pete Golding from Alabama be a candidate?
I don't necessarily know. I'm sure there's a lot of Alabama fans that would be celebrating LSU taking Pete Golding off of their hands, just the way LSU went into to Brian Denny and the way just Alabama played defense in general this year. But it'd be a return to Louisiana. He's got ties here. It'd be a natural fit. I'm just not so sure that would be the route that Ed would go. I think one thing you always ask yourself when and I know Ed won't pay attention to social media on this, but are opposing fans going to be celebrating the departure of one of their coaches for your program? And we've seen that a couple of times with John Chavis over the back half of his career when he's left other places. Most of the fans from those respective programs are more celebrating than lamenting it more often than not. But I look for somebody who's trending a little bit more up than that.
Billy Imbody covers LSU for Go247.com. If we fast forward next year, it's presumed Miles Brennan will be the quarterback succeeding Joe Burrow. And, man, what a tough spot he's in considering what he's trying to replace. And I hope LSU fans are going to at least understand he's not going to be able to put up the numbers in all likelihood that Joe Burrow did.
Billy, you know how hard that is? You never want to be the man to replace the man. The Dolphins are still trying to replace Dan Marino. I mean, Dan Marino's my age. I'm like, what? I'm thinking about that. And then you look at John Elway when he took over the Broncos. He had to go out and get an established guy like Peyton Manning to win a championship. So, boy, when you talk about in the history of college football, I don't know if they've ever had more pressure than what's going to come about with Miles Brennan, whoever's the future quarterback, to follow Joe Burrow, considering what he accomplished.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's going to be very difficult for him to obviously step into that role. I don't think LSU fans will take it easy on him. They're not a bunch to do that, in my opinion, at least. But he's going to have a ton of talent around him if he is the guy, and I think Ed will – also look at the graduate transfer market. You know, I think any time, and we've talked a lot about this, I think, you know, just as a whole with Ed Ogeron, is that he's learned over the course of his career now up to this point to explore all options and look for the absolute best to bring into this program. And so I think he'll consider a graduate transfer at quarterback if it's the right player. But either way, whoever that is, if that's the case, they still got to replace Joe Burrow, and it's going to come with a lot of scrutiny. But also, it's a big opportunity for a graduate transfer to come in and play in this offense and do what they do. So whether it's Miles Brennan or somebody not on the roster right now, they've got huge shoes to fill.
Billy, just humor me here. Is this LSU team of 2019 that ends up winning the national championship, at least in the modern era, are they the greatest college football team of the modern era?
I think so, and somebody tweeted this out, but I think they're the only team to beat
all four.
Five or six. All four of the top preseason top four, and then you do that, and then you look at all the top 10 wins they had, and even the Texas one. I mean, that Texas team that they beat early in the year was much stronger than they finished, without a doubt. I mean, before injuries kind of set in and the wheels kind of came off, but it's the best offense, and then the way the defense played down the stretch, what they did to two of the best offenses in college football, absolutely. I think it's right there.
And, Billy, I've said this because, I mean, it could be prolific. You can have a prolific offense, I should say. But, I mean, to achieve what they did as far as points, you know, when you look at scoring offense, and what I mean by that is – come on, the Peyton Manning Passing Academy, and all of a sudden, I wasn't there, but Christian, Mike Dettillier, they're there, and I heard the interview. Joe Burrow said, oh, let's go 40, 50, 60 points. And you're like, oh, I'm glad he's confident. But you think, okay, that's kind of pie in the sky. But when all said and done, they averaged 48.5 points, so basically almost 50 points a game. And then you look at the championship game. Clemson did have the number one passing defense and number one scoring defense. And come on, look at the final score. I mean, that to me, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's next level stuff. And they left some points out on the board on the field against Auburn. They probably the Texas A&M game. Joe Burrow was a little upset. They left a couple out there. I think he had a turnover in that one. There were a few times this year where he was always saying, you know, yeah, that's great, but we left about 14 points out there on the field. And so, I mean, the way this offense rolled, I mean, they should have hit that 50 mark. Shame on them.
Billy Imbody covering LSU for Go247.com. Billy, Would this be an accurate statement that Joe Burrow was basically mentally playing a pro game at the college level this year?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, just the way he approached everything. I mean, he didn't have to go to class. He was able to just spend as much time in the football facility as he wanted. And he took all of his classes online, of course, but was able to just give it his all in terms of his attention. And he treated it like he was already a pro. And I think you saw that. He's somebody that was laser focused to just knowing, you know, a lot of people around him and knowing Joe. I mean, he was somebody that really didn't go out, didn't really hang out with, you know, too many people. He just kind of kept to himself and kept to the team, and that's how he treated it. And then, he certainly had a well-deserved party on Monday night into Tuesday morning. And I hope he's still got it going.
Billy, interestingly enough, Miles Brennan's graduating this summer, so he'll have a similar approach where he can make it really all about his job.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he'll have an opportunity to, you know, start building his draft stock, and he's gotten experience this year and on a big stage, again in the Peach Bowl against Oklahoma, and other parts of this season he was able to get in there as well. So I mean, I think he's poised to have a shot to certainly win the job if they don't go with a graduate transfer. But he's got 2 years where, you know, he's not going to have to worry too much about actual class, so to speak.
Billy, what was Joe Burrow's biggest boss moment this year? In the SEC championship game where he scrambled around and threw that pass way downfield? He did it against Oklahoma as well, or when he popped out the cigar after the national championship game?
I was hoping you were going to let me break the cigar one on you. Yeah, I'm going with the off-the-field move. I mean, that was monster stuff right there. And then rolling right into a Barstool podcast the next morning. I tipped my cap to him, and I had a cigar on bourbon that night. So, he and I were on the same page there.
What kind?
It was a Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo. Good call.
I had one of those shops right off of bourbon, the Havana cigar room.
Can never go wrong with a Monte Cristo. Billy Embody covering LSU sports for Go247.com. Thanks, Billy.
Anytime, guys. Thanks
Billy.
All right, coming back for Don, Darren, Aaron, Ken, and Donald next here on Sports Talk on WWL.